Well, I appreciate that song and Brother Farmer requesting it, and I appreciate the years that Brother Farmer served our country. And I know he served for a lot of years, and I appreciate everybody that did that. And you know, whenever I'm out in public and I see somebody in uniform, I always feel compelled to shake hands with them and to thank them for their service. And I remember almost 40 years ago standing in a room and raising my right hand and swearing an oath. And at the end of that, I was in the military. And, you know, I think that, I swore an oath to serve and defend and protect our nation, and as many other men and women have. And I believe that as we, as Brother Ernie was talking about in Sunday school, I believe that we need to defend her now with our voice and being willing to stand up and say the things that need to be said. And we all need to be willing to serve this nation that God has allowed us to live in. I want to read some scripture today. If you have your Bibles and would like to read along with me, I'm going to ask you to turn to the 145th Psalm, Psalm 145, and I want to begin reading there with the 8th verse, Psalm 145, beginning with verse 8. It says, "The Lord is gracious and full of compassion, slow to anger, and of great mercy. The Lord is good to all, and his tender mercies are over all his works. All thy works shall praise thee, O Lord, and thy saints shall bless thee. They shall speak of the glory of thy kingdom and talk of thy power, to make known to the sons of men his mighty acts and the glorious majesty of his kingdom. Thy kingdom is an everlasting kingdom, and thy dominion endureth throughout all generations. The Lord upholdeth all that fall, and raiseth up all those that be bowed down. The eyes of all wait upon thee, and thou givest them their meat in due season. Thou openest thine hand and satisfieth the desire of every living thing. The Lord is righteous in all his ways and holy in all his works. The Lord is nigh unto all them that call upon him, to all that call upon him in truth. He will fulfill the desire of them that fear him. He also will hear their cry and will save them. The Lord preserveth all them that love him, but all the wicked will he destroy. My mouth shall speak the praise of the Lord, and let all flesh bless his holy name forever and ever." And that's reading from that 145th Psalm, beginning with verse 8, and reading through the end of the Psalm for a scripture reading. And I want to speak about something that is mentioned in that last verse that I read. And the title of my message today is going to be, "My Mouth Shall Praise Him." In the 21st verse of that psalm, it says, "My mouth shall speak the praise of the Lord, and let all flesh bless his holy name forever and ever." And just a few days ago at our prayer meeting, I was speaking about how that the Bible tells us that all flesh and everything that has the breath of life in it is to praise the Lord. And how that certainly and especially that's true for us as the people of God. You know, I enjoyed the good singing here this morning. And I really did. I got caught up in the good songs, and I enjoyed the singing that I heard last night. And aren't you thankful that God gave us voices? I mean, God created us. We need to remember that. You know, we just finished a week during our vacation Bible school. Some of you may have not been at all. If you weren't, then I will let you know that we just finished a whole week of lessons about the fact that God created everything. Our theme this year for our VBS was creation. And God created everything. The Bible says the earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof, the world and they that dwell therein. For he hath founded it upon the seas and established it upon the floods. He's the creator of all things. He's the creator of us. And you know, when God made us, when he created man, he created us exactly the way he wanted us to be. God doesn't ever do anything just to do it. Everything he does with purpose. Everything he does with reason. And he created us both physically and spiritually to be exactly what he wanted us to be and to be able to do the things that he wanted us to do. There's a reason that God, and I believe the Bible teaches us the main purpose for why he did these things, but there's a reason why that when God created us, that he created us with the ability to speak. You know, we shouldn't just take these things for granted like we often do. We should remember and realize that the things that we are able to do, that God made us and gave us the ability to do those things. And so given the fact that God does everything with a reason, and you know, I believe that everybody here believes that, that God had a purpose in everything that he did. Every, you know, minute detail of how that he created us, he had a purpose behind it. And so we need to, you know, realize that God had a purpose in creating a being that was able to speak like we are able to speak and communicate. And I believe that the most important and the main reason and the primary reason, perhaps, that God created us that way is found in this last verse of the 145th Psalm, "My mouth shall speak the praise of the Lord." What better thing could we do with the ability that God gave to us to speak than for our mouths to speak of the praises of the Lord, of the one that created us? And you know, there was something that I was reading in the 135th Psalm, and I was looking at this psalm and opened it up, and I had read this one verse. And in the 16th verse of the 135th Psalm, it said, "They have mouths, but they speak not. Eyes have they, but they see not." And when I read that, verse there, and I read those words in the 16th verse of the 135th Psalm, "They have mouths, but they speak not," I thought, well, I better read and make sure who this is talking about, because when I first read it, it sounded to me like he was writing about the people of God. You know, I mean, too often we don't use the things that God gave us for the purpose in which he gave them to us. When I began to read these things, I began to see quickly that this was in reference to idols, to people that make idols, and they fashion them in this way. They even, whether they're making them out of wood or brass or whatever, they fashion them in a way that when they were making these idols, they would put, eyes in them and a mouth on them. And that's what the psalmist was talking about here. They have mouths, but they don't speak. They have ears, but they don't hear. They have eyes, but they don't see. But too often, that's true of us. too often that's true of us, that we also have mouths and we do have the ability to speak, but far too often we don't. And you know, we need to be willing, as God's people, we need to be willing to speak for the Lord. We need to be willing to use this and exercise this great ability of speech that God has given us to do what the psalmist said here in the 21st verse of Psalm 145, that with our mouths, with our voice, we will lift them up before men and we will praise the Lord our God. Now, we have so much to praise Him for. And, you know, I think, and I mentioned this at prayer meeting, but I think about what Jesus said when, you know, He was coming into Jerusalem there, and they began to praise Him. The disciples began to praise the Lord. They began to glorify God. And they were the religious leaders of the day. They wanted Jesus to silence them. You know, they wanted the Lord to rebuke His disciples and tell them to hold their peace. You know, I mean, essentially what they were saying was, Jesus, tell them to shut up. You know, tell them to stop speaking. Tell them to stop praising You. And the Lord Jesus Christ just simply said, well, you know, if these hold their peace, the stones would immediately cry out. Now, isn't that something? I mean, that's quite a thought to me that, you know, God is going to have His praise. He's going to have it. The Lord said, I am the Lord, that is My name, and My glory will I not give to another, neither My praise to graven images, and God will have His praise. You know that the sun that sits in the sky declares the fact that there is a God. Did you? You may not think about the sun speaking, but it does. The sun speaks. The moon speaks. The stars speak. You know, they testify. Listen, man is not the only thing in God's creation that testifies. Those things testify. And what they say, when the sun is shining, and you know, after the last few days, I was really glad to see the sunshine. I'd almost forgot what it was like. But listen, when the sun shines, when the moon shines at night, when the stars shine at night, when the rain that we've seen plenty of lately is falling down from heaven, all of those things are testifying and saying, there is a God. And He created us. I'm sure that's what David was talking about when he talked about how the heavens declare the glory of God and the firmament showeth His handiwork. These things testify. And so, you know, because of those things, if it were for nothing else, because of those things that exist, man is without excuse. That's what the first chapter of Romans is teaching us. The invisible things of Him from the creation are seen, being understood by the things which are made. And so these things that the eyes of man can behold, these things that testify of the existence of Almighty God, leaves man without excuse. Why do you think that the Bible tells us that the fool has said in his heart, there is no God? Because everything around him testifies that there is. There is a God. And so it takes a fool, you know, to look at these things that we are able to see, to look at God's creation, to look at these things that are declaring to us that God exists. It takes a person that's a fool to deny the existence of God. Because there's too much evidence that He is real. But, you know, the sun, it doesn't have the story to tell that we do. It cannot testify of what we can testify of. And even though that the stones would cry out, and I believe that. I believe that. I believe that if we held our peace, if we did not praise God, He would get praise from some other source. His creation just has to praise Him. And so, you know, I believe what Jesus said, that if they would not have praised Him, that the stones would cry out and give praise to Him. But listen, it's not the job of the stones. It's our job to praise Him. Well, it's not the stones' job to praise Him in the way we can, is what I intend to say. Only people, only the human family can praise God for the things that we're able to. The sun and the moon and the stars, they cannot praise God for His saving grace. They cannot praise God for redemption. Listen, even the mighty angels of heaven cannot testify of what it is to be redeemed, to be washed in the blood of the Lamb, to have your sins washed away, and to be made white as snow. They can't testify what it was to know being lost and condemned and ruined in your sins, and then to turn to the Lord and to seek Him, and to have God speak to your soul, and to place peace in your heart that makes you happy all the days of your life. Those elements cannot testify of those things, but we can. You know, the sun can testify of the existence of God, and it can testify of God's creative power, but it does not preach the gospel of Jesus Christ. It does not preach redemption through His blood. But His church does, doesn't she? Thank God that the church has declared this through the years. Let me say this. I hear people say, I'm shy. Well, that's all right. A lot of people are. You know, if you are shy, if you want to be shy when you're around your friends and they're talking about sports or they're talking about entertainment or whatever that they're talking about, if you want to be shy, if you don't want to say anything about it, then that's fine. But let me tell you something. If you have been saved by God's grace and you are shy about speaking for the Lord, you need to get down on your knees before God and you need to pray that God will help you to overcome that, because everybody that is blessed enough to know the Lord in a pardon and forgiveness of sin needs to be willing to lift up their voice and praise God for what He has done for us, and being shy is no excuse when it comes to speaking for the Lord. When the Lord called me to preach, I wasn't fond about getting up and speaking in front of people anyway, myself. You know, that wasn't my favorite thing, but God called me to do it, and He has called us as His people, to testify to the world. Listen to what David said in the 40th Psalm about the mouth. Do you like the fact that you're able to speak? I mean, do you feel blessed by that? You know, sure you do. You're able to talk to people. You're able to talk to your children. You're able to talk to your parents. You're able to talk to your friends. I mean, what a blessing. We may take it for granted, and I'm sure that we do take it for granted, but when you stop and think about it, what a blessed privilege that we have, that God has given us to be able to speak. Listen, if you're not willing to use it for the honor and the glory of God, I want you to know that He can take it away from you anytime that He chooses. God can remove that ability just the same as he gave it to you. And God doesn't take excuses about it. I believe that's proven to us with what Moses said to God when God told Moses he was going to send him there to Pharaoh to tell him to let his people go. And Moses began to make excuses about his slow speech and about that how that he wasn't a great spokesman or anything. And God said, well, who made your mouth? God knew that, didn't he? Let me tell you something. You can't tell God anything about yourself that he doesn't already know. If you say, well, Lord, I'm shy. I'm not good at speaking. Don't you think God already knows that? Don't you think that God knows that when he's knocking on your heart and he's saying, get up and testify, get up and tell your experience, get up and speak for me about what I've done for you? Don't you think that God knows all of your abilities and inabilities? Let me tell you something, friends. God's not looking for our ability. He's looking for our availability. He wants us to give ourselves over to him, to be willing to speak for the Lord. This is what David said God did for him when he saved him in the 40th Psalm, where David's talking about how that God, he said, he brought me up out of a horrible pit, placed my feet upon a rock, established my goings, and put a new song in my mouth, even what? Even praise unto our God. Jesus said in the 12th chapter of Matthew, in the 34th verse, Jesus said that it's out of the abundance of the heart that the mouth speaketh. Think about what you have done. You know, because that I have the ability to speak, I was able one time to stand before one of the Lord's churches, one of his little local bodies, and I was able to stand before them, and I was able to testify unto them of what it was that God had done for my soul. And I was able to make my request unto them that I wanted to be a part of that body, that I wanted to be a member of that church. The Bible says, let the redeemed of the Lord say so. Listen, you may say, well, God never moves upon my heart to testify. Well, I guess we'll just let that be your little secret. I don't believe it. I'll just tell you the truth. I don't believe it. I don't believe there. I believe God wants all of his people to speak for him. I believe we may use that as an excuse sometimes. Well, you know, I'm not being told to do it. The Bible tells us to do it. Tells us to do it. And I'm convinced that the things that God's Word tells us to do, the Spirit will bid us to do those things. If you never feel, or if you say that you never feel like you need to speak for the Lord, you need to pray about that. Something isn't right. Something just isn't right. We are told to praise the Lord with the ability that he has given us to do that. I want to read something to you. I want you to, if you want to turn with me in your Bibles, turn to the book of James. There's things that we do with this ability that God has given us to speak that, we just shouldn't do. In the third chapter of James, he said in the third verse, he said, behold, we put bits in the horses' mouths that they may obey us, and we turn about their whole body. Behold also the ships, which though they be so great and are driven a fierce wind, yet are they turned about with a very small helm, whithersoever the governor listeth. Even so the tongue is a little member and boasteth great things. Behold, how great a matter a little fire kindleth. And the tongue is a fire, a world of iniquity. So is the tongue among our members, that it defileth the whole body, and setteth on fire the course of nature, and is set on fire of hell. For every kind of beast, and of birds, and of serpents, and of things in the sea is tamed, and hath been tamed of mankind, but the tongue can no man tame. It is an unruly evil, full of deadly poison. Now listen, we're told in the Bible to praise God with our mouth, to praise Him with our tongue. But in the ninth verse it says, therewith bless we God, even the Father, and therewith curse we men, which are made after the similitude of God. Out of the same mouth proceedeth blessing and cursing. My brethren, these things ought not so to be. Doth the fountain send forth at the same place sweet water and bitter? Can the fig tree, my brethren, bear olive berries, either a vine figs? So can no fountain both yield salt water and fresh. You know what I'm afraid of too often? I'm afraid that too often it seems so difficult for the people of God to speak for the Lord, and it seems so easy for the people of God to badmouth one another. It shouldn't be that way. It should not be that way. That's exactly what James is saying. James is saying, with the same tongue, with the same mouth, do we praise God with one breath and then turn around with another breath and curse those that are made after the similitude of God? That should not be the case. A fountain does not send forth and should not send forth sweet water and bitter water out of the same fountain. We use the voice that God has given us. You know what? Sometimes we are privileged enough and blessed enough when we're at church, when we're in service. Sometimes we're blessed enough to hear somebody get happy and really cut loose and really praise the Lord and maybe really begin to shout and really begin to testify for God. And sometimes people will look at that and they'll say, oh, that person, they've lost their mind. That person's gone crazy. But you can take that same person and let them start woo-hooing and hooping and hollering at the Super Bowl, and nobody would think anything about it. I'm telling you, friends, listen, we get excited about things, worldly things, and we celebrate those things with our voices more than we do the blessings of God. And that should not be the case. That should not be so. That should not be said of us. So do you think that too often that we're like the dumb idols that can't speak? They have mouths, but they don't speak. I remember one time years ago at Fellowship Church, I preached a sermon. The Lord really burdened my heart. I preached a sermon to the church there. And I said, the title of my message is, Do You Have a Broken Mouth? Is your mouth broke? Will it not work? Will it not praise the Lord the way that the Bible tells us that we are? David said God put a new song, not just in his heart, but he said he put a new song in my mouth, even praise unto our God. I want to share this verse of Scripture from Isaiah chapter 50, verse 4. Isaiah 50, verse 4. Isaiah said, the Lord hath given me the tongue of the learned, that I should know how to speak a word in season to him that is weary. You know what? When I testify of the grace of God, I know what I'm talking about. I know what I'm talking about because I experienced it. God has given that to us that are saved. We know, we have the tongue of the learned. We know what we're talking about. We know what we're relating to people. We have experienced it. We know what God is able to do. We know how He's able to save because we have experimental knowledge of that. We know it. Not only, something that we read, but we've experienced that in our hearts. We are here. And I hope you realize today that I'm not just talking about what we do when we're gathered together. I'm talking about, out there in the world, we need to speak up for the Lord. We need to be His mouthpiece because that's what He left us here to be. He left the church here to be His mouthpiece, to speak the things to this world that they need to hear. He left the church here to be His mouth and to speak His words. And that's what we need to do. And we need to lift up our happy voices and praise the Lord for the things that He has blessed us with. We need to be willing to do that. I think that maybe a lot of times that the Lord may not place anything on your heart is because you don't have a willing heart. You don't want to speak for the Lord. God wants willing servants, doesn't He? He wants us to be willing to serve Him. And we're the only ones, God's people, we're the only ones, we're the only thing in all of His creation that can testify of His saving grace. That's it. Nothing or nobody else can do that. Let's speak for the Lord. Let's be His mouthpiece. Let's have a song. Appreciate your attention today.